Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In her 40 years as performer and choreographer, Twyla Tharp has combined old and new, high art and low, and transformed American dance. She redeemed the Broadway jukebox musical and won a Tony with the Billy Joel collaboration Movin' Out, some of which you're hearing now. Her latest work features an original score by film composer Danny Elfman. The work called Rabbit and Rogue opened at the American Ballet Theater last month, and I'm pleased that it brings Twyla Tharp back to our Soundcheck studio. Hi.
Hello. Thank you so much.
So I have to ask before we get too far, I mean, you have done, you know, rock and classical and virtually everything in between. Would you ever choreograph to Coldplay?
Oh, I believe that others have. I try to find the areas to go to that are perhaps less
well-traveled.
Yes, you might say that as well.
So, you know, in a range of collaborators that goes from Philip Glass to Bob Dylan, where does Danny Elfman, a Hollywood film composer, fit in?
Danny is an extreme professional, so he fits in very well. He has, I understand he's been on the show, he has a terrific range. He, of course, himself had a band. He has done scoring for pictures of a very different sort. Because I grew up in a drive-in theater, I'm very partial to films and their music.
When you say you grew up in a drive-in theater.
Yes. My parents owned a drive-in theater in Southern California called the Foothill Drive-In, where I worked from the time I was 8 years old until I went to college. So I grew up on cartoon scores and film music.
So someone like Danny Elfman, who has done cartoons, The Simpsons,
yes,
and big films like Batman.
Yes.
This is
he's
right
my
up
heart's desire. Yes, we know one another well. And he was great to work with. Short segments that he's accustomed to, obviously he has the flexibility to expand and adapt them to longer sections, but still I maintained in the choreography his time units. So there are something, I don't remember, there's something like 108 separate sections in Rabbit and Rogue that are between 20 and 30 seconds long.
Now, his normal way of working would be you do whatever the visual is, and then he comes along and scores it. How did this collaboration work?
It had three waves. He did his original sketching, some themes, some motifs, which I had for a very short period of time with four of the dancers from ABT about a year and a half ago. Then Danny and I got together and decided, well, it'll be in four movements. It ended up being in sort of five. But in any case, it will be movements, and this motif will go into the opening movement, and then we will take this motif and it'll go into the penultimate movement and so forth, and built a score that he did a brilliant job of putting into a synth program.
So you got like a mock-up of
so
it.
So I had a total mock-up when I did the main rehearsal period, which was 2 weeks in the following January. And then I took it away again, and I asked for some changes, and not a lot, in a couple of places. Please, more. I need another 15 seconds in the finale, and could you maintain that high C just a little longer in Gamelan? For I got a lift in there that's a little complicated, and we're having to rush.
It seems more organic the way that
it was totally organic, and the dancing and the music evolved together, and he's a fantastic collaborator. He's a great worker, and he's the ultimate professional.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the music that resulted when Danny Elfman began working with my guest, Twyla Tharp, on the recently completed piece called Rabbit and Rogue.
Thank you.
little bit of music from composer Danny Elfman. Rabbit and Rogue is the name of a collaboration between the noted film composer and the great American choreographer Twyla Tharp, who's with us in our soundcheck studio today. What is the piece about when all is said and done? Was there a narrative to Rabbit and Rogue?
This is a question from other than the musical point of view. Yes, it's a matter of disparate becoming a unity. It's a matter of conflict being resolved into harmony.
And the way that works itself out is through two male leads. And, I mean, there's an ensemble as well. But in the Huffington Post, Patricia Zahn quotes you as saying that it kind of represented a left brain, right brain thing. How did that work out?
Oh, my. You have done your research. It has to do with my sense that because I'm actually a lefty, but my mother decided I would be an unwelcome dinner guest if she didn't make me use a right-handed spoon. I have this ongoing dilemma. And I know that, obviously, as a dancer, movement is grounded in the fact that we rock from one side to another side and that we have this tension built into us. I'm not saying quite that this is where war comes from. I didn't quite say that. But if you think about Rabbit and Rogue as being two forces and you put your fists together and you push hard and isometrically you get nowhere, then the narrative of the ballet would be coming to a coordinated understanding where both hands release and the fingers point forward.
Hmm.
That would be the story of the ballet.
So the lefty-righty thing actually raises a question that I don't think ever occurred to me before, which is, as a dancer, people are left-footed,
yes,
or right-footed?
Yes, you have left-turners and right-turners. You have people who are stronger to the right as jumpers. You even have people who are faster on one side than the other.
And which were you?
I was ambidextrous.
Hmm. So when...
Left, though, I actually was trained to be ambidextrous, but I am a more natural mover to the left side.
So when you are working with your dancers, you have to know their proclivities, you have to know their tendencies, whether they're better
it's
to one
best.
Side.
It's best. And then when they insist on sitting in their solid vein, you say, no, we need to expand our range. Also, you see, if you do allow yourself to stay on only your strong side, you actually limit yourself to half a space because you will always be going counterclockwise. Clockwise, you will never be able to accommodate the full cross of space across center. You'll be essentially on one side or the other. And as a dancer, this is a limitation, particularly to a choreographer. For a star, they can get away with it. But I always try to encourage dancers to expand their second side.
Well, now, as the choreographer, you can kind of force the issue, can't you?
Up to a point. I could, but why do that? We want the dancers to look wonderful, and we want them to feel wonderful. And I worked at one time with a wonderful skater named John Curry, a Brit who was a phenomenal technician. Skaters always go in one direction, essentially. They go counterclockwise. And he turned only to the right. And I said, well, John, we must address this, mustn't we? And to give him all creditability, he actually tried to skate to the other side. And he had won in 1 year, I think, or a year and a half, his nationals, the Olympic, and the sort of world championships. Mm-hmm. And he said that before he went on, it was done at Madison Square Garden, he threw up into the garbage can more times than he did for any of those competitions because he was skating to his weak side.
Ah, the glamour of high-level
but
sports.
But he did it. He did it. He wanted to do it.
We're speaking with Twyla Tharp, the choreographer. Her Rabbit and Rogue recently completed its run at ABT, American Ballet Theater, and is now off to the Far East.
Correct.
Japan,
Korea, and then back to the Far West, Orange County.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it, having done work with dancers, with skaters, you've also worked with film. I mean, the Rabbit and Rogue is with a guy who's best known as a film composer, but he's done many other things. When you are actually working on Hair or Amadeus or a movie like that, this is another thing. This is, you're not creating the mise-en-scene, you know, the story. How does that change the choreography?
Well, first, of course, is the camera, because you're not choreographing for real time. You're choreographing for edited time. It's film is not in real time, unless you're Fred Astaire, which was a very famous, theoretically, Astaire's contract said either the camera moves or I do. But few others have the clout to keep them from doing a pan or doing, you know, cuts when the hair flies. Mm-hmm. That's where they like to cut. It's interesting. A good editor will always want your principal metric accent for their cuts, so you have battles in the cutting room. So you have that going on. But also, obviously, spatially. I mean, what lens is being used has a big impact on what's the space.
And how much of this are you aware of? I mean, were you aware of the first time? It sounds to me like you've had a lot of experience with this and you've learned these things. But the first time, I mean, when you started working with Milos Forman on Hair, how much of this did you know?
I had the advantage of working with Milos and Mike Weller on the script for the picture. So I was working in advance of shooting for practically a year. And Milos gave me a viewfinder, which is the, you know, very sexy, classy thing you hold up and it shifts the frame according to the lenses. So I had some sense that would happen. What I didn't know was the amount of material that would end up on the cutting room floor, but that I learned. So when I did Ragtime with Milos the next time round with Randy Newman, mm-hmm. I knew, and he got to the inch of his life what he needed for that one. He even had to go to the bin to pull out for his credits.
We're speaking with Twyla Tharp. She has scored a number of movies, including this one from Milos Forman, the movie Hair. From the Milos Forman film version of Hair, I said Twyla that you scored it. Of course, you choreographed it, but it is similar to scoring
It's a visual scoring.
It's a visual scoring, and like the musicians, like the composer who does the actual audio score, a lot of stuff ends up on the cutting room floor.
Absolutely.
Some composers will then reassemble that music and do like a concert suite. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been able to take like the music from Hair or Amadeus, the dance from Hair or Amadeus, and do a full concert version of those?
Yes, I did. I did a performance suite of Hair, but I also took the outtakes from Hair and made a piece called Baker's Dozen with Willie the Lion Smith,
who was a great jazz pianist from Harlem, I think, but somebody who is not as well known as a lot of the other musicians that you've worked with over the years.
No, but they're always what I call the old guys, you know, sort of starting with Joplin, but from Jelly Roll Morton on through to, you know, James P. Johnson, Fats Waller, Albert Ammons, all these mm-hmm. guys, they're fantastic.
So what do you look for when you're picking music?
Visceral.
Visceral. So now Danny Elfman, for the new piece, Rabbit and Rogue, he came to you. The story goes that Dylan came to you as well for his the
this
piece.
This is true.
But when it's you going out and looking, I mean, Billy Joel, for example, what struck you, what said to you, I can do this, I can make something that will...
In the instance of Billy?
Yeah.
My son. He said, Mom, do rock and roll. So I didn't know Billy, but I called him, and I had done some work on some of the songs, and I said, I've never met you, but I'd like to show you something, so come to my house, which he did. And I showed it to him, and he liked it very, very much, and he said, what do you need from me? And I said, all your music. He said, you got it. And he sent, 2 days later, everything he'd ever recorded, which I listened to in chronological order, and I realized there is a narrative arc here.
In the course of how his
from
career
from Italian Restaurant through Goodnight Saigon, And
Well, and the result was a great success, moving out over 1,300 shows. The Times They Are a Change in the Bob Dylan collaboration, less successful. You've had a 40-plus year career. How do you handle the highs and the lows?
You keep working.
Which, actually, you mentioned your son, Jesse. He was quoted in the New York Times some time ago as saying that the way you relate to your work is like that of an old couple. He said, you know how in an old couple, one dies and the next dies shortly thereafter? When Twyla can't work, she'll probably die.
Oh,
nice
dear.
Thing for your son to say. But can you imagine a life as a retiree?
Oh, no. That's not why I started.
Well, the piece Rabbit and Rogue has finished its run at the American Ballet Theater. It is off to Japan and Korea and then back to Orange County. Twyla Tharp, on to the next project, I'm sure. Twyla, a real pleasure having you back here
on
Soundcheck.
Thank you so much. My pleasure. Thank you.
And still to come, think globally, dance locally. We look at many musicians from around the world coming to a stage near you. And tomorrow on Soundcheck, a British journalist sets out on a mission. Learn how to write a hit song and record it within a year. He'll share his experience with us tomorrow on Soundcheck.